mention that.
Oh, Lisa, you're just not gonna do the intro with me for this one?
Okay, bro.
Yo, so this episode is our dedication to Mumbai, to Bombay. And, you know, we just thought we'll get our favorite classic street food snacks.
You can't do this to me, Shah. Yeah. You can't put...
That chutney, ooh, that Szechuan sauce has become your new lipstick.
Has it? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Honestly, you cannot put chicken lollipops in front of me and make me wait to eat them. This is going to be a historic episode for anyone who follows our podcast.
Yeah.
You will see me clean this plate. There will be no food. By the end of his.
I introduced Lisa to one of the best.
Tell him where it's from.
Chicken lollipops. This is from Sahiban in Bandra.
Bruh.
And they also have an apple flavored chicken lollipop, which is actually really good. Like, surprisingly very good. But the classic is a classic. And I, obviously, the spice is there. I'm gonna get to it. Shout out to this vada pav from the guy outside. Like, there's no other way to buy vada pav in the city. You just have to find someone on the street and go for it.
That's not a bad name for, like...
The guy outside?
Yeah, that's a good business name for a vada pav business.
We're doing this. Yeah. Dishing that sponsored the guy outside. Okay.
Every time you talk to me, that piece of chicken...
She's going in.
Like, dangling from my mouth.
Don't even care about the intro. Okay, and then the mutton cutlet from Baba Zest Sharon, also
my Sharona
Hill Road. And obviously we kept it quite like Bandra-esque, you know, because we have to, because, you know,
fresh 4-0-0-5-0.
Only one beef for my
Momo.
Yeah. we're going in today. We're discussing.
I have all to put things, this down.
All things Bombay. Thank you.
You just clicked your mouth. I heard the saliva, bro.
I'm ready.
It's about that time.
Proper.
All right. So now you eat. I'll banter. Mm-hmm. I love street food. As a kid, when I went to weddings, I didn't care about the mains. Mm. I was an appetizers kid. Mm. I would load up on the apps. It's the best part of wedding food because 90% of appetizers at weddings are street food.
100%.
They always have a pani puri counter.
They all have like the little tikkis and the little
aloo tikkis. Little kebabs? Yeah. Mm. Oh, my God.
Bite size.
You're telling me I got to sit down and have dal chawal after that? Yeah, nah. Yeah.
Who's trying to eat? You know, like you come...
You and then you want me to go like... Oh, yeah.
No, the best is like, you know, the classic thing. You're with your plate, you're eating, like you're trying to scoop up with the naan, the butter chicken, and suddenly the camera comes around. They go right in your face and you're like...
Yo, you know, I actually have a very distinct memory about chicken lollipop.
Yeah?
The first time I ever came to Bombay... was in 2005, unfortunately, a day after the Mumbai floods.
Oh.
And I was 12 years old, and I remember thinking, like, where are we going to get food at this time? Nothing was really open. Mm. And we were in Santa Cruz East. And there was this little restaurant, like a Chinese spot, right by our hotel. And my dad went in. He was, like, scanning the menu, and he's like, what is chicken lollipop? Mm. I'm not kidding you. For 3 days... we ate chicken lollipop, Szechuan sauce, and white rice for every meal.
Love it.
It was so, it's like such a core memory of mine from my food. It's the first thing I ate when I moved back, actually.
I think for me, it's the same thing. When I would visit Mumbai as a kid and come to Bandra, my grandfather, my dada, would always bring candies home. You know, the iconic
candies.
And he used to bring, obviously, chicken lollipop. And there would be also this different type of lollipop, which had, it was like a stuffed cutlet with cheese inside.
Yeah.
There was that. Plus, on top of that, the iconic chicken jungly sandwich, or like, you know, the chicken mayo roll.
Oh, yeah.
Which the jungly chicken sandwich from just around the corner, which is now
Eat Around the Corner.
It used to be just around the corner. Mm. They changed it, I don't know, for branding issues. Madhura knows what I'm talking about. The real Bandra people, real people know about this stuff, okay? This is controversial shit.
But this is like the peak of our controversy.
And you had to get the chicken jungly sandwich with the gherkins. It would slap. It would slap even extra.
This?
Oh, my God.
This is...
So I have a funny story about me and Lisa. We went to a bougie Chinese restaurant, Royal China.
Name redact. Oh.
Yeah. Like, I love Royal China because it was a restaurant I went to in London. Like, I used to go to with my family in London every Sunday. It was like the typical Sindhi Chinese restaurant. You know, you would go for lunch and all the Sindhi families would be there. And also because I grew up in Hong Kong. You know, I love dim sum. So we were at Royal China one day, and we love hot and sour soup. Like, we have a thing for hot and sour
soup. I love it.
And they brought the hot and sour soup, and they did not bring this with it. And we're like, and first of all, they thought we were just going to do a 1x2, which is like, come on, like, we're trying to go in on some hot and sour soup.
It's because we didn't have a podcast yet.
Yeah.
Watch out, Royal China. We coming for you.
Yeah.
Y'all better have 5 soups each ready.
Yeah. And they didn't bring this, and we had to keep explaining. And then finally, they brought those, like, vermicelli noodles.
Yeah, they just deep fried some rice noodles for us, and we were very confused.
Every hot and sour soup should have, like, a big handful of a
fried China noodles, right?
of those on it.
This is what makes. Yeah. Actually, you know. Isn't this like native to Manchow soup?
Yeah, probably.
Right? This goes on Manchow soup. Maybe that's what they were confused about.
Maybe.
Woman Chow.
But also Royal China is more Cantonese, like traditional Cantonese. So maybe this is more of a bomb, like a Indian, Desi Chinese thing, you know? So
Indo-Chinese also, like, because of that one trip I made and then like I kept craving it back home in Chicago, where there's this really like iconic area, this Indian area called Devon Avenue.
Okay.
And it's where all the Indian and Pakistani restaurants are.
Yeah.
And they had, like, only one Indo-Chinese spot that opened very late into us living there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Usmania.
Oh.
And
I'm going to go for the vada
pav. Usmania had a really legit take on Indo-Chinese because you can't find that easily in America. And it's such a specific thing to India. Mm. I'm not surprised. The start of this meal was with Indo-Chinese. Mm. Yo, how that vada pav hit. You're taking it in?
It's iconic. I don't think...
Is it iconic, though, without the garlic chutney? Which is not a chutney, it's just a powder. Can we talk about
honestly,
that?
Honestly, there's a lot of chutney in here already.
Mm.
But...
Are you a mirchi guy?
No, I'm kind of. But you know what, actually? This is not the... You know what I'm missing? You know those little... what is the fried potato? The bhajia, normally the bhajia comes with it, right? That's my favorite. Yeah. No, but also the extra potato circles they do and stuff. Just basin, yeah.
Oh my God.
It's great.
My mouth is watering while I'm eating this.
But maybe we're in Juhu right now, so maybe I'm missing my Chimbai Road guy. But this is also good.
I don't care, it's all good. Sorry, I don't care, it's all good.
I think we can both agree.
Should I?
I was going to say.
Should I do this?
You do you. You do you.
Szechuan sauce on the vada pav.
This is going to start some crazy diplomatic problems. I was going to say that maybe potato needs to be an elite superfood that needs to go on our bylaws. No potato disrespect. And all types of potatoes are welcome on this table.
Shall have it with the sauce.
I'm good. My mouth is kind of on fire right now.
It's actually neutralizing the fire with a little sour.
Your stomach is weird, and we know your immunity is weird, so just let it be. And I'm ready to try this cutlet.
Tell them about the cutlet.
Shout out to our friend Ruel, who, like, whenever I go to his house to play poker, he always gets, like, local
Bandra. From Andorra.
Local Bandra delicacies from, like, the chicken samosa
from Andorra. He's a big guy for that. He's like,
yeah.
He always entertains with a chicken and a mutton, little mini samosas.
Samosas, amazing. I love samosas with meat.
That's so Andorra's like his favorite. Incredible. The filling is a little bit more Indian.
Yeah.
Mine is Baba Zest by Sharon because
so good.
The filling in their samosas is more like garlicky, peppery.
Yeah.
So it's a little like a Western, like it almost tastes like a chicken pot pie wrapped into a samosa.
Shout out to all the bakeries in Bandra.
Y'all you have
iconic
us alive.
Bakeries like A1, these kind of newer, nicer ones like Baba Zest. Actually, I don't know how long Baba Zest has been around. Andorra's like behind in, it's in that lane, right?
Where it's opposite.
Opposite St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
But, let me go. Oh my God, there's a little hair on mine.
No, ooh. That's part of the lacy.
Oh, it's part of the lacy? Yeah. Okay.
That's why she called it lacy.
Today years old.
It's great at neutralizing the spice from the... I know. Have a little close-up of this expression.
Bro.
I'm going to let you think.
Holy fucking shit. Oh, sorry. Holy shit, that was amazing.
You can say holy fucking shit, it's okay.
cutlet is beautiful.
That's the cutlet of my dreams.
That's the cutlet of my life.
She's so lacy.
She's so lacy. Wow.
She's so lacy. She's making me feel racy.
Oh, my God. That is like perfection in a bite. I'm quite the carnivore. And that is a supreme level bite. It's fried on the outside. So obviously,
juicy on the inside.
This is not good for your cholesterol. And but holy shit, that is incredible.
But you know what? Indulge once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you to tell you what to do with your life?
Yeah. Wow. I'm actually like really unpleasantly surprised. Speaking of street food, you know, I see some streetwear on us right now. Shout out to our good friends at Odd Not Even for creating our custom merch. Which
this whole thing.
This whole thing. I don't think we set out to make merch so early in our podcast careers. But,
it was a great suggestion by our friend Sid.
Yes. Shout out to Sid.
We just drink every time one of us says the words shout out.
Yeah. Great drinking game. Yo. Also, great drinking game. Every time we like say the same thing and then we clap. I've been editing some of these podcasts, so I've been seeing this. We've been doing this too. We do kind of hype each other up with the jokes, so it's good.
That's what best friendships are made of.
Best what? Friendships? Mm-hmm. Are we best friends? Did we just become best friends?
Is that from Step Brothers?
Yeah. Do you want to get bunk beds?
Oh my God. So much room for activities.
Yeah, streetwear. And shout out to Odd Not Even. I'm also wearing Odd Not Even representing. And you know, it's such a great time for obviously young musicians all over and young creatives, but especially young streetwear designers just like setting out to do like iconic stuff. Obviously, you have so many like iconic brands like Blue Orange, Human.
Yeah.
Human, I wouldn't even like label
as streetwear anymore.
Yeah, yeah. They're all
over. Shout out to my friend Ritwik Khanna, who just won at Lakme Fashion Week because he debuted his label there. What? Archive City.
Woo! Yeah. Love it.
Like killing it. And it's all like recycled denims patched together.
Yeah.
Expertly made.
Wow. Shout out to my one of my favorite streetwear brands also by my bro Chaitanya Dixit. He has a brand called Wearable, which is just like really... I'm a big guy, so I love my oversized t-shirts, drop shoulder t-shirts. Obviously, there's a lot of brands doing the oversized drop shoulder t-shirts, but...
But quality is a big
quality
thing.
Is big and also obviously design. And
my girl, Sormai, with Polite Society, who I wear all the time. Hero.
Amazing.
Amazing clothes. Jaywalking.
Jaywalking.
Big deal in our
Blue
city.
Blue Orange. Amazing. Yeah. You know, even like they really stepped it up with the stores as well. Like
I know.
Like
the stores are a culture.
100%. Crepe Dog Crew.
Yeah.
I love that
CDC,
store.
CDC, Unchit.
CDC is a beautiful store. Obviously, shout out to Main Street. Shout out to Free Society.
Yeah.
These guys created like, especially in my corner of Bandra, like near Chimbai.
You're really spoiled.
I'm spoiled because in that 1 mile radius, you have like
every little
so
shop.
Much You know, it's really dope. Like, even when my cousins come over from, like, Hong Kong or the U.S., they're always like, oh, where do we go? And I'm like, literally go to this one street. You will see Jaywalking, Main Street, Free Society. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, everyone, all the NRIs are talking about these, you know, these names. So I think it's great. But also,
it's a great time
controversial question. I think streetwear is doing really well, obviously, globally. But what about sneaker culture? Like, I stopped buying Jordans because they're just not comfortable. I see Rishabh behind the camera. Shout out to Rishabh, man. I've been working with him for like 2-3 years
now. Have
that
drink.
and basically, I think, I don't know. I know a lot of people, especially the sneakerheads, that when I was starting to really get into it, those guys who would guide me on what I would buy, all of them stopped like, you know, buying heavy and spending a lot of money.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have your statement pieces and your go-tos, but I just think like...
I think for me, sneaker culture evolved. I'll say that. Because I love shoes.
Yeah.
But I think the fixation on Jordans was a bit much, and even I fell prey to that. I'm like full, you know, trans girly. I just do whatever everyone else does. I'm not very original. Sorry. I know y'all wish I was your role model, but I ain't. it's really not... You don't look at me. So I gave up on the Jordans, and then I transitioned into New Balances like a typical internet girl. Then I transitioned into Sambas like a typical internet girl. Yeah. And guess what? I'm going to transition to the Puma Speed Cats like a typical internet girl.
You know, for me, comfort has always been the most important thing. So,
What's your most comfortable shoe?
Foam runners. The Yeezy Foam Runner.
Those are clouds.
Honestly, walking on clouds and it's the perfect airport shoe. It's the perfect, like, I've been on, when I was in Portugal, I went to this two festivals back-to-back, Rolling Loud and Afro Nation. I was on a beach for 6 days straight, and the foam runners have sand coming in and out, but it's the easiest shoe to get the sand out.
Yeah, of course.
Compared to Jordans, where you're just like, first of all, the Jordan 1, all leather, is not great on your feet all day.
It hurts.
Some of the Zoom ones and the other models.
The Dunks are a little more easy.
Dunks are better. Yeah.
They got a thicker sole.
100%.
Yeah.
And obviously, Air Force Ones. I think once you really beat into an Air Force One, then you're really...
They're the Birkenstocks of sneakers.
Yeah. Obviously, I think that's one thing about Air Force Ones. Like, you will always want to have a fresh pair. Like, yeah, you will go with any part of your outfit.
A black and a white, you have to.
You need... You know, you can't have a black Air Force One. You don't know about the Black Air Force Ones?
What is the lore?
Oh, I need to educate Lisa on this. Okay, listen. The Black Air Force One is the drug dealer shoe. It's the official gangster shoe. And I've had to tell a lot of my friends, yo, you need to refrain from buying that shoe. Because
I'm just saying, I'm a G, so...
It's like a known phenomenon online. If you're wearing a Black Air Force One, you're ready to kill someone. Hey, that rhymes too. But all I'm saying is, stick with the whites. And there's so many other colors as well. But Black Air Force Ones.
Oh, I love the black ones. What does that say about me?
She's a killer. She's from Chicago.
I'm a stone cold killer. But I was going to say, my comfiest shoe after, you know, liaising with all shoes and everybody in my friend circle is going to hate me for saying this.
Crocs.
It's my favorite. I bedazzle the shit out of my Crocs. Y'all, I got oh my God. They're called gibbets, by the way. There's a culture around this, okay?
Gibbets?
Gibbets with a Z, okay?
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. They were
today is old.
We got a gibbet.
Tell me.
Me and my friend Riz went to a songwriting camp. Shout out to our friend Riz.
He got a whole lot of Riz.
He's made most of my album with me. He made What's Up with Krishna.
Incredible
as well
producer and rapper as well.
Right.
And singer.
And singer and melody writer. He's just incredible. If you're a musician, work with Riz Shane.
Incredible meme dealer as well.
Just a fun energy. Yeah, fun and he does this move at the club. He goes, what is that thing? It's like
that one.
He does that all the time. So, anyways. Riz, we love you. Riz and I landed in MOPA last year for a songwriting camp. And we saw We saw the Crocs store.
There is, yeah.
And we both bought sets of light up flower gibbets.
Whoa.
Which, by the way, y'all think that's tacky. But every time I wear those Crocs with the light up gibbets, people ask, where did you get these? I have made them cool. It's my mission in life. I know
lighting up these streets.
I'm lighting up these streets like it's Diwali. with my Crocs, though. So I know it was like a big controversy in our friend circle because everybody would tell me, Lisa, stop wearing Crocs. I was like, you don't know the life.
Yeah.
Okay? It takes a certain type of personality to pull off Crocs. If you're not about that life, stay out of that life.
I'm not going to lie. I have no hate towards Crocs because I know people look at foam runners and they
yeah, that's like
they call
Kanye
them
Crocs. Yeah. You can't really talk about Kanye without thinking about like the legacy of hip hop and that whole sound.
100%.
All the way to like carrying over to music here.
Yeah. Which obviously respect to the 50 years plus of hip hop that has, you know, birthed like hip hop scenes all over the world, you know, like all over Asia, obviously the UK, even Russia, when I was there, there was like an insane, you know, hip-hop scene in
Privet.
Moscow. She's going to keep doing that all season until I teach her some
By the way, Russian. Look, quick aside, he speaks fluent Russian.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? Before today, shooting today's episode, I was like, will I ever have to like bring out my Russian a little bit? Because I can actually rap like a few verses in Russian. Like back in the day, I used to write with some Russian people. So one day I will get to that.
Da.
We will do da. Okay, so...
Back to the music.
Yeah, back to the music. I think, you know, both of us, being musicians, obviously now we're, you know, exploring different avenues of our creativity. But obviously we both came here as individuals who've lived outside, you know, as
outside the country,
outside the country. And we came here to, you know, to chase our dream. And I don't know, I just wanted to reminisce on something.
Yeah, how were those, like, first few days for you in the Mumbai music scene?
I came from London where I didn't have so much confidence. And London was a very tough city to chase your dreams because it's just this, you know, it's the most vibrant and, like, they call it, like, the music capital of the world. Mm. Like London had that, you know, even venue-wise. When any big artist from the U.S. goes to London, that crowd will be the best crowd they will ever have on tour. Like, Drake says this all the time. Kanye says it all the time. So when I came here, it was kind of hitting a reset button. And I was like, I'm going to go crazy with this. I can reinvent myself. I kept going around with all the chains. Like, you know, every chain I could wear that I had at my house. I used to go to Hill Road. Shout out to Riddhi.
Riddhi Jewelers, our favorite.
Which I can gladly say every rapper in Bombay.
You put them on.
I put them on to Riddhi.
Always and, trust a Sindhi with the jewelry.
Like, all iconic jewelry moments for me, like, whenever I've had, like, a crazy request, like, when I had the two in Konetu, I sang two tone G&T, like a bummer beat, Jesus is my homie, but my chain, no Ganpati. And they painted two, like, Ganpati heads for me in gold. And, you know, they always, like, they always come through, you know what I mean? I'm sure...
I love them so much.
Almost all my earrings and stuff,
I'm not wearing any Riddhi today, but Hill Road Riddhi, that's Hill Road a spot, Riddhi. Bro.
Shout out to them. Shout out to our bylaws one time. We shouting out our own bylaws. There is a bylaw on there about no weird mouth sounds. And Lisa has forgotten about, you know, our values. But
just for the ASMR crowd.
Shout out to our Spotify crowd. Do rate us very highly on there. We would like to, you know, do great things with this podcast.
I'm somebody who likes to really clean their chicken.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. Yo, I work out a lot.
Yeah.
So I earned this.
What about you? Like, what are some
early moments
for, you know, music wise for you when you got here?
Well, so I got here, tale as old as time. Don't need to tell about that story because you can read about it on the internet. There's 1 million articles.
Yeah.
But when I first got here, obviously I started as a Bollywood singer.
Yeah.
In India, at least. I started in the independent music scene in Chicago, but then I came here as a Bollywood playback. Mm. And initially, I was just like honored to be in a lot of these spaces because, you know, like my second single of my entire career was recorded at Yash Raj, which this I think is Sajnavi.
Oh, yeah.
With Vishal Mishra.
Wow.
We recorded that at Yash Raj. Actually, he was in the middle, I'm pretty sure, of making the music for Kabir Singh.
Wow.
And he snuck me in at like a 30-minute gap he had to be like, yo, the session time is on. Just come in and do your verse and leave.
Amazing.
And we did like two takes, kept it, bounced.
Wow.
And ended up becoming one of the biggest songs of my career. You know, it's still in my Spotify top five.
Wow.
It's wild. That song does not die and it shouldn't. It's so good.
Wow.
So... not only did I get to work at Yash Raj, I got to work with early days Vishal Mishra, who's like the biggest composer, like new age in Bollywood now.
Of course.
So I got very, very lucky with that as well.
Wait, I thought you also had a session at Purple Haze as well.
So right? I didn't have a session at Purple Haze, but the music video for Tarifa was shot there.
I
recorded the actual track at Sound Ideas in Andheri.
Yeah.
But... we shot the music video at Purple Haze, which is Shankar Ehsaan Loy's studio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've worked there.
So I, before I moved here, like in 2011, I worked at Purple Haze studio, and obviously, a lot of the Gully Boy stuff was done there. And then obviously, it was also famously shouted out in Shake Chili, Purple Haze studio, naam yadam yadik. Dude. That studio is also like down the road from my house. It starts on Jimbai.
It's iconic for many reasons.
And it's always has like traffic on that little junction because there's always a star getting out. And even I think...
they do dubs there.
But always like when Ranveer Singh would get off to go dub for Gully Boy, it would become a frenzy outside there. And then like...
I've seen him.
Yeah.
Outside of Purple Haze. Yeah,
and he's always just, you know, like it's...
one of the more embarrassing stories of my life.
Yeah.
All right. Let me take you back to the year 2016. And I didn't live here yet.
Yeah.
But I used to be, and still am, a really big fan of Arman and Amal Malik.
Yeah.
And at the time, because we're all kind of the same age.
Of course.
I had the hugest crush on Amal.
Yeah.
And like, that was there's a whole era of my life because he just made Bol Do Nazara. I had done a cover of this on my YouTube channel way back.
Suraj Dobahe as well. I think.
Yeah, he's done a ton of songs. Yeah, but the song that was dear to me was Bol Do Nazara.
Okay.
And I love that song. Arman sang it, Amal composed. And I was walking into AMV, which is another iconic Bollywood recording studio.
Yeah.
A lot of great film songs happened there. I've done a lot of my songs there.
Yeah.
And I was walking in, and two people were walking out. The first person to come out was Neeti Mohan. And which was already like, whoa, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And she's like total girl's girl energy. She made me very comfortable. She was very sweet about it. And she was like, I know your song, Tarifa, had just come out. It was like a month old. And then I was like, wow, so cool. Mm. And then I sat down and they said, okay, there's a little like wait. Do you want a coffee or something before you go in and you know, record? I said, sure. They hand me a mug of, like, piping hot black coffee. And I'm holding it in my left hand. And I remember, like, just having a sip. I'd put it here on my lap, like this. And Amal walks out. And I just go,
starstruck.
Be cool, be cool.
Be cool.
Be cool, be cool. And then he comes up to me.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey.
Hey.
Actually, that's how he's like, hey, bro.
Yeah.
He's like, hey. I'm and I was like, I didn't realize I had the coffee in my hand, so I let it go, and I so jumpily extended my hand to shake his that I dumped piping hot coffee on my jeans, and my first words to him were, fuck! He just looks at me, and he goes, excuse me?
Lisa the Mishra.
And I was like, hello?
Wow.
Yeah, so great first meetings. We're friends now, I hope. Right?
I also have a brain fart moment like that.
Yeah.
So we were performing at the Bollywood Music Project, which they have once a year in Geo Garden. And we were, entire Gully Gang were joining on for Divine Set. And I think it was one of the first years of BMP. And what an amazing performance, obviously, all the time. Anytime Divine, you know, steps on a stage in Mumbai, it's a different energy. But we get off stage, you know, we've done like Vibe Hai and Walla, you know, all those collabs. And I get off stage and a guy in a hoodie has just like, you know, looked at me and goes, hey, bro, like, great one. Like, that was really like energetic, really nice. And I was like, thanks, bro. And I like continue walking like 2 meters. And like my manager at the time goes,
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, my manager goes, bro, you know that's Arijit Singh, right? And I was like, and then I turn around and he's still looking at us. I was like, sir, like, thank you so much. You know?
You're like, let me make up for this.
And honestly, if you put him in a crowd, you would have not like recognized him because he really looks like the most humble person in a crowd.
And he is.
And he is,
he
of course,
care for
the most
attention.
Down-to-earth like superstar you will ever meet. And just had a hoodie on. Like, he also performed that, you know, that same day.
Yes, because the same day,
yeah.
I met him and had an awkward encounter, too.
He just has that aura about him, you know what I mean?
I have that aura about me, let's be honest.
Maybe
I make everyone uncomfortable.
Our aura in front of superstars, basically,
I have negative rays. So I was getting off stage. Me and Ash King had just finished our set.
Shout out to Ash King.
Shout out to Ash King. Ashutosh Ganguly over there. That's his name.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I didn't know that.
So Ash King and I had just done a set. And right after a Sunny MR was going on.
Yeah.
And Arijit was hopping on to play keys for Sunny.
Got it.
And very low key. Same night, 2019, December, BMP. Yeah. Had the hoodie on. I immediately knew. I was like, this is I, at the time, I had 33 YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Total.
That's a lot still, 33.
And 16 of them, I think. 16.
Were
Arijit Singh covers.
Wow.
I was a dedicated fan. I'm going to spot my mans in a hoodie.
Yeah.
I'm going to spot my mans in a topi. Whatever he's wearing, I'm there. And I was like, that's my guy.
And love
it. And he's very low key and he goes to the side of me, and he and Ash know each other very well, so they exchange pleasantries.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's my time.
Yeah.
I go up, and nothing comes out. I was just like, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was just like, hey.
Yeah.
And I said nothing and walked away.
Lisa, the biggest
moment of my music career. I could not introduce myself. I was just like, okay, bye.
Wow.
And that's all that came out of me. And those initial days, you know, I had this experience not even a year ago. I texted Armand about this. Some days you look at your phone and you see who's texted you or who's called you, and you see names, bro, that you would never in a million years have dreamed that you have access to, that are in your inbox, in your call log.
Yeah.
So I would listen to these superstars.
Yeah.
And then the gratitude I have for being able to work with them in this industry now as a peer, come on.
Honestly, this city has a different sense of magic to it. Yeah. If you're coming to Bombay to chase your dream, give it so much love and passion that it can really give you back
all
so much
that
more.
Energy.
And you'll be surprised where you are a year, 2 years from now, just by putting in that work, being consistent, and being a little daring, going out and, risking it. I think this is the type of city where if you grind,
you can become somebody.
You can become somebody. And
biggest example, our friend Divine. Speaking of Mumbai music, I feel like for me, my personal sound of the city is Viv.
100%.
Yeah.
I remember 2018 when Sacred Games had just come out and he did Kampachis. And you know what?
I just got goosebumps. I got laser. Song. I don't really have hair, but I can tell that's where goosebumps should be.
Shout out to Laser.
Shout out to Ageless.
honestly, that song, I've known Viv since 2015. You know, we used to meet in the clubs and go party. But I remember that song specifically for that summer. Mm. Every club would play that song, and you would just hear that song all over the city. And for
that
me,
sample
that's,
in the beginning of the song.
That's such an iconic Bombay, especially Bombay hip-hop, that's a really, obviously, Meri Gali Mein and stuff has, these are milestones, but that song, I remember, was insanely, still, when he plays it today in a gig, it's crazy. Yeah.
I have the coolest story about me knowing Vivian.
Yeah.
So, in 2020, he put up a post that said, who should I feature on my next album? And this was leading up to Punya Bop.
Yeah.
And obviously, by that time, we all knew who he was.
Yeah.
Going Nowhere was a massive album.
Yeah.
Everybody knew every song. Every song was practically a hit.
Yeah.
Many of which you wrote with him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
So I was I'm gonna just throw my name in the hat and see what happens.
Yeah.
So in his comments, I wrote me.
Mm.
And in a few hours, he was in my DMs being like, yo, let's do this. And I was no fucking way. I felt so excited. And then we made Rider, which I so cool of him. He gave me full flexibility to make that song the way that I wanted and put my sauce on it as a songwriter, which I feel it's just so cool. That's actually kind of the origin story of me and Shah as well.
Yeah.
Because he helped write the hook.
Yeah.
Which is so dope.
So that's a song that we did in the second songwriting camp of Gully Gang.
Yeah.
And funny how that song was actually the first ever musical,
unrealized collab of ours.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Obviously, 100%. Which led to more. But then, with that moment, I remember just feeling so humbled. And he was like, this is not the first time I've heard of you.
Yeah.
And then I thought he was just saying that.
Hmm.
2 years later, I went to the video for Tarifa, my cover. And his comment was there.
Wow.
He was like, yo, this is sick.
Incredible.
And so I was like, you are a real dude, man. Yeah. He really
shout
meant
out to Viv.
It.
Shout out to Viv. Out to Divine.
I thought it was very, very cool that he took a chance on someone who, he really didn't have to. But since that was our first technical collab.
First technical collab, we did have one more collab.
A little surprise for y'all.
On my album, my debut full-length LP.
Which came out last year.
Last year, it's called Call You Right Back. I'm in therapy. Go check it out.
It's so good.
Feast on, the music of my...
and our colors and themes are inspired by your cover art.
We do love the color
orange. We love
orange. Yeah. We wanted to perform our collab from my album.
Yeah.
It's called The Cure.
Yep.
Lisa the Mishra. Is going to play guitar and sing.
I know what you want.
Do enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I got what you need. Don't you worry, baby. I got the cure. Just let me in, I'll fix you right up, babe. I got the cure. No need to rush, it's all about trust, babe.
Let me fill your prescription, girl, what you need.
I got what you've been missing, all. I got the cure.
Just let me in, I'll
fix you right up, babe. Relax, let me check up on ya. Lay back, let me check up on ya. Baby girl, take a deep breath now. Relax, let me check up on ya.
Relax, let me check up on ya. Lay back, let me check up on ya. Baby girl, take a deep breath now.
Relax, let me check up on ya.
I'm sending goosebumps up your anatomy from a big dose of this philandery. Yeah, I'm a sweet talker, and these compliments don't have calories. My touch will rush adrenaline through your body. One eye on those thighs, no Illuminati. Got your heartbeat speeding faster than the Bugatti. Got you sweating out a fever like summer in Abu Dhabi. Don't worry, cause I got the cure. Hey.
Just let me in, I'll fix you right up, babe.
Let me in.
I got the cure.
Got the cure.
No need to rush, it's all about trust, babe.
Let me fill your prescription, girl, what you need. I got what you've been missing,
I got the cure.
Yeah.
Admittedly,
I'm trying to get you admitted to me. I want to be intimate infinitely, play rough or innocently. I'm a G, I spot all your intricacies. Plenty placebos and fake people, but I'm immune to disloyalty. And I never get under your skin like a needle. Check my blood, only royalty. Let's go.
I know what you want.
Yeah.
I got what you need.
Sing it.
Don't you worry, baby.
Woo, woo. Yeah.
Now I got the cure. Just let me in, I'll fix you right up, babe.
Let me in.
I got the cure.
Got the cure.
Need a rush, it's all about trust, babe.
Yeah. Let me fill your prescription, girl.
Know what you need, I got what you've been missing. No,
I got the cure. Just let me in, I'll fix you right up, babe.
Relax, let me check up on ya. Lay back, let me check up on ya. Baby girl, take a deep breath now. Relax, let me check up on ya. Relax, let me check up on ya. Lay back, let me check up on ya.
Baby girl, take a deep breath now. Love it. Very much. Please subscribe, leave a comment, smash that like button. This was
Dishing That.